Thank you, Vanessa. Just on the text line, this question. Maddie, what if, we love a what if on this program. I like to throw them at Maddie Johns on a Monday morning, the old what ifs. What if Riles isn't wanting to do the Dragons rebuild and instead is heading back to Melbourne to take over from Bellyache? There's a what if. Well, it appears as though the first part of that is already in motion. From what we understand, the Dragons rebuild, working the phones, trying to build the team. So as much as it is a what if, and it's certainly part of the conversation that we have to look at because of Craig Bellamy's desire to stay on for another year, it appears as though it's just not going to happen that way. And it just shows you how quick, and as Jaleesa Rapps was saying, just how quick things change. I mean, yesterday it was like, oh, it's all falling apart. Jason Riles isn't going to be there. He's not going to get this. He's not going to get that. And then, bingo, before you know it, Roosters saying, off you go. What it does, it puts the Dragons, I think, in a much better position because it was almost like they were having to hand over the keys to the Empire to get their man. You know, everything bar their PIN number. But Now that they've got him, do they have to give him a five? Assuming they've got him, do they have to give him a 5-year deal? And do they have to give him everything he wants? Well, that's going to be between them and him. But what it does is it gives him time. Trying to juggle both roles, if the Dragons go, okay, we're going to give you the job, but see you out the year at the Roosters. I mean, the fact is you've got two jobs. That's just the way it is. As much as you could say, well, I'm going to stick solid with the Roosters, the fact is you'd be on the phone when you get home. So this allows him clear air. And perhaps that's what the Dragons need the most. Somebody who's got the full attention of everything, and I'm not saying that Anthony Griffin didn't, but if you go back in there and the joint's still all over the place, imagine trying to piece it all together while the season's about to get underway. At least there'd be the remaining months to do so. Have a bit of a break, get there, continue working the phones. He doesn't have to worry about the Roosters' job, and the Roosters don't have to worry about him worrying about another job. So maybe it's, strangely enough, the world of rugby league's made sense. Tommy, can you imagine that I've just said that? The world of rugby league has made sense? What's going on?
Doesn't make sense to me, Matty. Nothing makes sense to me, rugby league. You know what does make sense? The Roosters absolutely stink. That's what makes sense. Now, just on this, I'm so perplexed on this. I'm torn on this. Obviously, as a Roosters fan, I get where Trent Robinson, Nick Politis, and, you know, the Roosters power brokers are coming from. They kind of got burnt once before with Adam O'Brien. He was 1 year into a deal. The Knights came knocking, and he said, look, I want to be a head coach, so I'm going to go to Newcastle. It was a very attractive destination to go to. They had stars there, Mitchell Pearce, Calen Ponga, Tyson Brazil, David Clemmer. They're all there at the time, so you get that. I just don't know. You've said this for the last few weeks. As an assistant coach, for majority of them, they want to further and enhance their career by becoming a head coach, whether it becomes at the club that they are at that present time, or they get offers from another club who are looking to move on from their coach at that time. So I'm really, really perplexed about this because the Roosters want to keep everything in-house, and I think this is reflective of where their season is now, Matty. If they weren't, 11th on the ladder, didn't have a 5-6 record, and they didn't have all this other stuff going on like Joseph Swali'i, Brandon Smith's, you know, injured, Victor Radley suspended, and all this stuff, because this has been a very, you know, I don't want to say un-Roosters-like season where they've been in the news for what's happening off-field rather than what's happening on-field for the very first time in a few years, which they don't really like doing. And this Jason Riles thing and being linked to the Dragons, I think, is the cherry on top. And look, they've just said, look, we're sick of being in the news. Let's rip the Band-Aid off as it is now, because if he stayed on for the rest of the season, then the story is just going to develop into a bigger bubble. So from that point of view, you can understand. But if you're Trent Robinson, and if you're any head coach out there, you know the bed you're getting into when you sign a prospective assistant coach. Ultimately, their goal is to progress in their career. And as you said as well, surely there are clauses put into assistant coaches' contracts which says, look, if I get an offer from another club, surely I'm available to to speak to that club. Look at Craig Bellamy, the guys that he's had. Michael Maguire, Brad Arthur, Kevvy Walters, Adam O'Brien, Stephen Kearney, Anthony Seibold, Dean Pay. Wayne Bennett had Craig Bellamy. He had Paul Green. He had Anthony Griffin. So this isn't new to the Roosters. This has been going on for years and years and years. But I think it's been a culmination of everything that's happened off the field for the club this year. And they're just kind of sick and done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and do you know what? That's what makes successful businesses, to be able to make tough and hard calls and move on if they think that there's the need to move on. But back to your original point, I just can't work out. Something's gone a little bit pear-shaped in this. Whether it's, you know, whether it's a big deal or a little deal, something's gone pear-shaped in it because they know that he's looking for a job and they know that there's a job available, and if they don't want him there, then fine.
Well, it's
move
a bit,
on.
It's naive. Call. It's a bit naive, if I'm being completely honest, from the Roosters. You can't expect a club to not come knocking for an assistant coach who's had his tenure under Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson, two of the most successful NRL coaches of the NRL era. I mean, you're showing your naivety there, in my opinion.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. It's not a word often associated with a powerhouse club like the Roosters. I mean, I think what we've got to deal with now is what's going to happen. So we could talk about it till the cows come home of how they got to this stage, but what's going to happen if we're getting the right information is deals done at the Dragons. So Dragons have got their coach. Roosters have got Jake Friend. Up he comes. There's Jake with an assistant job. And then what happens after that is the Roosters may well start to just look internally and foster their own talent almost exclusively. And that's where the change is.
I don't like that.
That's where the change would be.
As a Roosters fan, I don't like that. You can't. I don't think it's good to keep everything in-house. I think you need an array of different opinions. You need an array of different perspectives. You know, what can make a club successful? I think if you're just doing it from in-house, as a Roosters fan, I don't like hearing that. You need different perspectives. You need guys that have been at different clubs, guys who have worked under different coaches. They can bring in new ideas, new training methods. Just as a Roosters fan, hearing that for the first time, I don't like that. And Jake Friend and Boyd Cornett are absolute legends. I'm not saying they shouldn't be promoted. I'm just saying, again, I'm going to use that word, I think it's a bit naive. You're saying, well, your system is the best. Well, you know what? Your system hasn't been the best the past 3 years. So maybe you need to look outwards instead of always looking inwards, if that's the route they want to go down.
Perhaps, but I think it's going to go the other way. What else have you got this morning? I'm reflecting on Tina Turner. How much do you remember, or do you think we're impacted by, you know, the best campaign long after your time, obviously?
Long before my time, obviously. But I remember the song. I remember just, you know, always watching rugby league shows, rugby league games as a youngster. But and always seeing that ad come up whenever it was like an anniversary or they had a certain player on that panel or on that show, they would always talk about it. So my show, I spoke about it briefly with you guys before the show and some other guys here around the office. My song that I grew up on was That's My Team, the Hoodoo Gurus one. And that's so synonymous with people in my demographic as well. But I understand the folklore when it comes to Tina Turner, how she really put us nationally but also internationally as well. And, you know, the queen of rock. So an absolute legend, and I'm sure plenty of rugby league fans and just fans in general will be playing her music for the next days and weeks.
And what you just said there about That's My Team is exactly the reason why I don't want to go down the line of just constantly using simply the best. Yes, it was fantastic, and yes, it was the best. It was the best marketing campaign that we've had. That whole Tina Turner thing was. But would it have resonated with you as much as that song at that time and that kind of audience where the game was? I don't know, because it just hit the right time. Great marketing comes at the right time in the right way.
Yeah, and Matty, there's probably a few people younger than me who maybe say, hey, well, my song is Bon Jovi, This Is Our House. Mm. Do you remember that? That was about 2011, 2012, so maybe they're...
What about Chumbawamba? Remember Chumbawamba?
Yeah, and I remember I was speaking to, who was it, Jeremy, before as well. Do you remember Wes Carr, who lost Australian Idol, Feels Like Woe? I think that was back in 2007, back in 2008. So that's another one. So yeah, you know, different. You know, what song catches you at a different time in your life that's going to stick with you? I just wanted to. Sorry, go ahead.
If you won the Indy 500 on the weekend, would you go whole milk, 2% milk, skim milk, or no preference?
None of the above. I go chocolate milk. Can we get chocolate some? Can we get some flavoured milk in there?
Ain't gonna happen. You know what? The other, and this is weirdness, quirkyville in sport. One of the other weird parts about that is that there's been billboards. I mean, this tradition goes back a long, long time. And there's been billboards around the Indy 500 of campaigns of we've got to stop people drinking milk. And Scott McLaughlin has actually taken offence to it because his mum came from a dairy farming family. And so this, he wants to win the Indy 500, but he wants the milk as well because it's a personal factor. So all this weirdness that rolls around, quirks, origin.
Well, okay, so there's been an article written in the Telegraph this morning about how the NRL is conceding that the first game at Adelaide Oval may not be sold out. So as it stands right now, the NRL is reporting that 41,000 tickets have been sold for a match at the Adelaide Oval, which is its capacity is 53,500. So it's 12,500 seats empty as of yesterday. So the NRL is hoping to get around 45,000, but that would still leave 8,500 seats free. You've kind of touched on this briefly when you spoke about, you know, the NRL's, they kind of missed the mark with their marketing in Adelaide. Let's everyone just calm down. This is so going to be sold out, Matty. I guarantee you this game will be sold out in 6 days' time at Adelaide. I'm so bullish on this. It's State of Origin. It's one of the biggest showpiece events in Australian sport. It is going to be sold out by May 31st next week in Adelaide.
Oh, they're 6 days away. You're right. They did miss the mark with the advertising with that, you know.
Of course.
Going on down in there and saying, you know, this is real footy is just basically saying to an audience that is 99% AFL, your game ain't real footy. And they take offence to that. Do that in Melbourne, you'll never hear the end of it. But, look, I agree with you. Does it matter if it's sold out? I mean, is
no.
that the success
as long
or failure factor
good.
Of it?
No, as long as it looks good. I think that's
the point. Mate, the Adelaide Oval always looks
good. Yeah. One more thing. Now, I know Vossie and Trent Copeland were very, very strong on this morning. But do we really care? There's a lot of people seem blowing up that the Blues are going to run out in a navy blue jersey instead of a sky blue jersey.
No problem.
Got
no drama with it.
Who cares? They're not called the New South Wales Sky Blues. They're called the New South Wales Blues. Just because it's in a different shade of blue doesn't mean they're going to perform worse, doesn't mean they're going to perform better. Let's take a pill and just relax.
Let's cut to the chase. How much blue is there anyway?
Exactly.
There's a massive, massive big W smack bang on the front from Westpac. It's an enormous, gigantic sponsor's red.
I'm going to have a blue with people if they keep getting upset about the colour in which some players run out on. Like, just relax. It's all going to be okay.
You should have joined the defensive line yesterday. People having a crack at Origin. The maestro and I lined up a defensive line. I chucked my shoulder pads on and I said, righto, come at me. Come at me and I'll defend it and I'll drive you back into the turf. So if you want to join the defensive line,
of course, you don't have
a problem with the blue.
No problem
with the new blue whatsoever. Righto, come at Tommy, see if he can drive you back into the turf. Back after this.